we are recording. So again, thank you, Brother Larry, for reading the scriptures. And as we come out here on this beautiful day, first, I would like to, I think it was amazing what the church did for Pastor Mike and Jan, and Claude did such a good job of giving them their gift. And as some of you may know, this late winter, early spring, they wanted to get me started off right, and they had me come up to their house and do some much-needed plumbing repairs. But what a great time we had being up there with them and the fellowship with them and being there with Mama Mace and hearing the stories from the back in the day. And it was just an amazing time. Heidi and me was on a diet. It's kind of funny, but I didn't lose much weight for that spell through there. When we'd go up, she would ask every day what we had, and of course we never had any diet food. But it was a great time of fellowship, and they was able to get their stuff they needed done, and for when their family comes, and a lot of stuff. We are all the same way. So this morning, really quickly, we just have a nice short message about the Emmaus Road experience. And the first thing, we'll not read all the verses again, but the first thing we want to quickly take a look at is Cleopas. In verse 18, it says, one of them named Cleopas asked him. So we know that over in John 19, verses 25, as Jesus was on the cross being crucified, we hear a little bit more about Cleopas. And John 19, verse 25 reads, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So with John recording that amazing part, he wanted to tie it all together, from the four Gospels. It's amazing that Mike always says, a lot of the times how we had four different people and they put down the story and their different take of it, and it's the same story. But that's, of course, the way the Holy Spirit wanted it. So we know now that Cleopas, as he was walking down the road with his friend that they had a lot to talk about, and he knew exactly what was going on. Now, we also learned here very early that we need to keep in mind it was about 7 miles. So it wasn't no short little jaunt, going like if you live in town down to the grocery store. As Brother Larry read, it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they had a pretty good hike. Now, I've been lucky enough to hike more than 7 miles in one day, but it was a good, long, nice hike. So now, if we would look down in verse 19, as Jesus has already come up to him, and we have to think what an amazing thing that would be as you're walking down the road and Jesus himself comes up and walks alongside with you. What an amazing thing that would be. Of course, we know right now they still don't know it's him. But see, here is where Cleopas is kind of amazing in verse 19. He is a little bit confused here. And as Brother Larry's about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. And here's where Cleopas was a little bit confused. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Now, we don't know with all that he said, and we don't know with all that he saw and all that he had heard from Jesus, why he thought that he was just a prophet. But we know, as Brother Larry read, very soon he'll be all straightened out on exactly what he was, and he'll be 100% sure. But as we know now, he wasn't the prophet. He was our Lord and Savior, the true Son of God, and that he came a perfect sacrifice so that all our sins could be forgiven. And we, of course, thank him every single day for that. So moving on, now that we know that Cleopas was a little confused, but he'll be shortly straightened out, if we moved to verse 27. So it says, in the beginning, as Jesus now is revealing, in the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So like we know now that Jesus was there from the start. And of course, they seem to be learning more about this every day. But, and it says in verse 27 that he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures. So obviously, it was a long walk. Obviously, Jesus was there with them a long time and had a lot to explain to them. And obviously, their mind was probably going to go, poof, you know, after he, you know, the man that was actually wrote the scriptures was there explaining it to them and revealing it to them. But now, of course, this morning, we don't have time to go over all the things that Jesus had explained to them as they walked the way down to Emmaus. But we have to wonder, we can go over a few of the things that Jesus revealed to them. And of course, we know in Isaiah 7:14, and this was Isaiah predicting Jesus' birth about, we usually say 700 years before Jesus, and he wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." So there we have it. You know, that may seem amazing that Isaiah wrote about Jesus' birth 700 years before it happened. But of course, maybe that's one of the things that Jesus revealed to Cleopas as they walked along. But also, in Psalms, King David, Jesus may have shared with them, in Psalms 22:16-18, King David says, he's predicting and telling about Jesus' death on the cross, and it reads, "Dogs surround me like a pack of dogs around me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet." Verse 17. "All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me." In verse 18. "They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." And of course, you know, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, the Psalms is believed to be wrote 1,000 years before Jesus was here on the earth to save our sins. And here David, King David, had it wrote down.
Amen.
Also, Jesus, we all know now that Jesus fulfilled 44 prophecies in the Old Testament that he fulfilled while he was here on earth. And he could have, of course, shared those with him. But for sure, the two would have been very very certain about Isaiah, as we have already shared in chapter 7, but also in Isaiah 53, chapter 53 of Isaiah, if I may share that with you. It's the beautiful scriptures in Isaiah, as we will read, he pretty well had her down pat. So we take up in verse 1 in Isaiah 53, and it says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" In verse 2, "He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." Verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem." In verse 4, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich he in his death. Though he had no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and he will, and the will of the Lord will prosper his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous service will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for the beautiful passage in Isaiah that once again was many hundred years before Jesus' birth. So this morning, we'll go back here to our... So this morning, as we have read what Jesus may have shared with Cleopas and the other fella as they walked along the road to Emmaus, we have certainly been blessed to hear the messages that we have had by Brother Mike and John leading up to Easter. And also in Matthew, we wonder about the apostles and we wonder about Cleopas. And in three of the Gospels, Jesus clearly tells him what's going on. But we'll go to Matthew 16, verse 21. And of course, this time of year, you know, but in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus predicts his death. And it kind of leads us to believe that maybe that they would have knew what was going on. It doesn't seem too confusing to us 21 years later. But this is what he says in verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So it's amazing that, of course, as we read there, they have it in Mark and Luke all the same, very much closely to that. So it's amazing. It seems as though that he has tried to show them and teach them what was going to happen and what had to happen so that all of our sins could be forgiven. But it seems like they had confusion. But you would have thought, and maybe it just wasn't recorded, you would have thought of all the 11 that was left, and they said maybe there's as many as 120 disciples, that at least one of them, that they're waiting on the third day, you know, saying, hey, where you at, man? But we don't know. It's very possible that that is what happened. So now, as we go back to our beautiful scriptures today, we go over to verse 31. And it says, then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared. So then, and right then and there, Cleopas, they understood exactly what was going on. And as Pastor Mike shared with us last week, and during our getting ready for our communion, that he had broke bread with them again. And of course, they had then, and surely as the scriptures tell us, then they had realized exactly what was going on, that indeed he was alive. And then in verse 33, it's kind of amazing. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. So now the 7 miles didn't seem too bad at all. So now they understood exactly what was going on. So it said when they had told him to stay, that as they approached the village in which they were going, Jesus continued as they were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with it, for it's nearly evening. So now, as they decided it's time to to get up and go, they did the 7 miles obviously in the evening or in the dark. So Amen. they wanted to get back to the 11 and tell the good story. So obviously Cleopas knows now that he wasn't just a prophet, that he surely was the true Son of God. So in verse 34, this is one of the best parts of the scripture in saying, as they got up and returned at once, and they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has already appeared to Simon. Praise the Lord, our Savior had risen." And now, Amen. And now they all are sure about it. So we went over verse 34, and now Cleopas knows that Jesus is not a prophet, and he is our Lord and Savior, and he has been here from the start. So we have to wonder, and we have to give Cleopas and all the disciples a break, because even though they were told, as we read over in the Matthew and Mark and Luke, we read, and he told them and he told us what's happening, we have to wonder if we're a little like Cleopas and the disciples, do we always listen? Are we always sure? You know, maybe we do need to give them a break, because he tells us, you know, to believe. And he told us in John 3:16, one of the most familiar verses of the Bible, you know, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe will have everlasting life." But Amen. Sometimes even we see our Christian brothers and sisters, they seem to be in doubt. You know, maybe we're all a little like Cleopas and the disciples, you know, but we know for sure that we should not have any doubt, and they should not have had any doubt, and we should believe for sure, you know, as Jesus hung on the cross, and one thief did not believe, and one, he said, "Today we'll be together." You know, we believe, and we should be, as Christians, we should be more secure that whatever happens today, you know, if we're not here with us, we'll be together. He said, today we'll be together. So I think all of us Christians need to think about that. And then I think about Billy Graham when he passed away and his famous saying, and it's, you know, we all seen it when he passed away. And he said, if someone ever tells you that I've died, he said, don't believe a word of it. I'm more alive today, I'm more alive when you hear that than I ever was. So praise the Lord that we have the blessing of everlasting life. But it's easy to forget, and it's easy to get away from the Word of God, and it's easy for the great deceiver to put doubt in our minds and our heart. But we are so blessed that we have His Holy Word and His Holy Scripture that's the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday, that we can go and look and see what is right and what Amen. he said and what he wants us to do in our life. So we all can't be too hard on them. We all, the great deceiver tries to put doubt in our hearts and mind, but we need to stand fast, and we need to learn from the Word, and we need to learn from Cleopas. But one thing that we have learned from the disciples and the Word is today we come out to, and we have, as Claude mentioned in his prayer, such an amazing privilege in America that we can come out and love God and worship God freely. But like today, our doors aren't locked. Anybody can come in and worship and love Jesus and love God and hear the great story, the amazing story that will save them also. But like the disciples, we don't need to stay in behind locked doors. When we're out in public, the public needs to know that we are 100% sure that Jesus died for our sins. And Amen. And in this country, as so many religions filter in, and there's so many different types of religions, we need to assure people as Christians that this message, what is shown, this is what we need to tell them. He is risen. Our God is alive. He eventually, as we go on through Luke, he eventually ascended and sits at the right hand of God, you know, the creator of everything. He is there. He is on the job. He is interceding for us. But, you know, it's amazing in this country. We all hear, like I know I'm speaking to the choir, but there's so many people that are like Cleopas. They believe that Jesus was, you know, he was a great teacher. He was a great prophet. But a lot of people don't believe that he is the Son of God, and they don't believe that he was there from the start. But clearly, as the Word tells us, we all believe that he is the Son of God and he was there from the start. So we need to, as Christians, we need to portray that to our family and friends and whoever we come to. And, you know, like you all may have realized, I'm a big blabberjaw. I get out and talk, and with my new job, we go and see a lot of people, you know, and different things. And all of us need to portray the love of Christ. That is our goal, you know, to show the love of Christ in our life and our heart, and to hope that our life portrays that. So that is what my kids call me, JoJo. That's what JoJo tries to do out and about. So I think that is just about all. So we can go to prayer once again. Thank you again, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day. Thank you again for the scriptures that we can read and learn, and you can keep us straight. Thank you for all these things. Thank you for the many things that the church does for the community. Thank you for each and every single person that comes out. Like Brother Claude said, I hope that more people can eventually start coming out and fellowshipping with people of like mind and faith. Thank you for all these things. Thank you for your Son Jesus that you sent, that our sins can be forgiven. And in all these things, we thank in his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.